When our loved ones have disabilities or struggle with age-related limitations, we want to do everything we can to take care of them, but we often forget a very important piece of that care, taking care of ourselves. Many don't know that there are organizations committed to helping caretakers with planned respite time. It's a time when they can take a break and get help caring for the loved ones. It can help reduce family stress and minimize the need for out-of-home placements. East Lansing's Helping Hands Respite Care is just one such organization. And joining us now for Neighbors in Action this week, Executive Director John Stauffer. Welcome back, John.
Thank you, Mark.
And Katie Donovan, a volunteering consultant for the organization. Katie, welcome.
Happy to be here.
John, you offer so many services. We're going to get into a few of the main ones, but can you give us some kind of overview here, the range of services that you provide?
Well, when you talk about a range, Mark, what I like to say is we take care of things from autism to Alzheimer's. Our youngest client is 3, our oldest is 95. Mm. And because we do focus as our core mission being respite, giving that primary care provider some time away from their loved one, we really do run the whole spectrum. Alzheimer's, traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, dementia, autism, cerebral palsy. I mean, we take care of all of that.
But the heart of your service, though, is to give the caretakers assistance.
Absolutely. Here. Time away so that they can take care of themselves. We're there with highly trained individuals that are able to give a comfort level and a trust level to that family member who normally takes care of that loved one so they can step away for a while.
And you have several different facilities, correct?
Correct.
Katie, the weekend respite house is one of the most popular programs, I take it. What is it exactly?
It is. I've only visited it a couple of times, but it's an amazing opportunity for families, especially with children or older children who really need more than just a few hours of a break. So this provides 48 hours of respite for the family, mm-hmm. and exciting activities and wonderful camaraderie for the ones that participate in that program.
I imagine people come out of there feeling like totally different people maybe than when they walked in.
They absolutely do.
Transformational. John, let's talk about your adult day services too, because that's one of your other big programs. What do the adult day services entail exactly?
Well, we're very proud of our Adult Day Services program. It's actually been in the community for 32 years now, so kind of a best-kept secret. And while there are growing adult day centers in our Tri-County community, ours is still the largest and the oldest, and we serve the oldest population. So we have a fairly frail population. Our average age at our Adult Day Services is 82 years old, but our mission says we'll serve from 18 and up. We just have a lot of those that are older that come to our service, I think, because of what we offer. We offer a nurse on staff all day long, and that's not a requirement for an adult day service. We've just always done that.
But, so, John, these are for the caregivers, correct?
Yes, but understand, when you drop your loved one off at our adult day services with dementia, that caregiver now can go to work and spend 8 hours at work. That caregiver can now go to the grocery store. That caregiver can go and play cards with their friends while we're taking care of their loved one.
Okay. I'm speaking with John Stauffer, Executive Director of Helping Hands Respite Care, also Katie Donovan, who is a consultant and volunteer with the organization. Katie, you lead an initiative called Kate's Memory Cafe, which sounds intriguing. What does it do?
It is. It was a very exciting concept that we stumbled upon, and we decided to take it on. And since I decided to step up and volunteer my hours to make this happen, it's a second Sunday of the month social event, and it's for the caregiver and their care partners who may have an early or mid-stage diagnosis of Alzheimer's or dementia. And so it's a social event. Mm. And there's a meal, there's live music, there's fun, and then there's a little bit of education for that caregiver in the mix to help them understand how important it is for them to claim some time for respite.
Mm-hmm. And it's free.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We forget about that part.
You've anticipated my next question. Do your services cost anything, John?
Many of our services do, But we have a variety of pipelines to help the families with those services. At our Adult Day Services Center, about 25% of our people are private pay, but we have contracts with the Veterans Administration, we have contracts with Community Mental Health, we have contracts with Tri-County Office on Aging. All of these agencies help our families pay for the services that we provide.
And the funding that you do receive, where does that come from?
Most of our funding is Medicare-related or Medicaid-related. It comes down waiver programs from the federal government to the state through those agencies I just mentioned, like Community Mental Health or Tri-County Office on Aging. And through those people, a case manager is often assigned to the families. They're authorized hours, and then they contract with us to have those hours fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Katie, to what extent does Helping Hands rely on volunteers?
Well, we really want to rely more on volunteers. We've just, as we've grown in the past few years, we've really recognized the importance of having an official and important volunteer program that really creates an opportunity that enhances a volunteer's life, as well as enhances the operations of our programs and the people that they're serving.
What kinds of things would a volunteer typically do at Helping Hands, John?
Mark, the range is great. They can show up one time, like on July 31st, we're going to have a special program where folks from Pi Kappa Phi, the fraternity men, are riding from San Francisco to Washington, D.C. They'll be stopping by our center at the Valley Court Community Center in East Lansing, and I could use a ton of volunteers to help welcome them and help with the party in the park that we're going to have that day, because they're riding to raise money for needs like agencies such as ours. So that's a one-time volunteer. But we also have programs where we're trying to have volunteers match up with families and with team leaders in homes and actually provide on-site care in the home with the family. Talk about the opportunity to make a difference in someone's life.
Mm. Katie, talk to us about the volunteer aspect. I know you serve as
sure.
a consultant as well, but talk about the volunteer experience for you.
Well, you know, for me, the Memory Cafe happens just once a month, and it's probably the highlight of my month because I feel so invested in it as mm-hmm. a volunteer. We created it to kind of honor, at least I decided to do it, to honor my father who passed from Alzheimer's and my mother who was his, you know, constant caregiver.
Yeah.
And I really saw her being so vulnerable. So when I see these families really get what we're saying and embrace this and enjoy the time that they have, I feel so empowered that I'm helping them understand how to claim that respite time for themselves.
Is there a person or two that you've worked with that
sure.
Stands out in your memory?
You know, there's one couple that comes, and when they first started coming, I could tell that the wife in the mix, who was the caregiver, was really, really crackly. She was just so exhausted. And for her, she used to step away just a few feet and sit in a comfy chair and close her eyes for just a few minutes and listen to the music. And to me, that was just that little bit of claiming of respite care.
Yeah.
Last month, she came in, kicked off her shoes, laid down on the couch, and let her husband enjoy the activities.
Yeah. How about that? You know, it can be stressful, a lot of stress associated with that, a lot of skills are necessary to take care of people facing these challenges. What kind of training does your staff go through, John?
Mark, we're so proud of our training program. We have evolved our training in the 5 years that I have been the executive director. And our current training method for our new care providers is starts with 78 online classes. I know that sounds really intimidating.
It does.
But they're very short classes. It's to make sure they understand the point. It's a very short test for each class, 5-6 questions, but they have to have 100% on every question. If they don't get it right, they have to go back and redo it.
But that's this is staff we're talking about,
this
or volunteers?
No, this is staff.
This is staff.
This is
okay.
staff.
Okay.
But volunteers get the opportunity, depending on how they want to volunteer, to possibly follow that same track. We also have 1 day of training in-house so they understand the philosophy of who we are as an agency and what we have to do. And then we also have 2 days of OJT, on-the-job training, either in the home or with our Adult Day Services program or our Guyer Community Young Teen and Adult program that we have. So there's a lot of effort that goes into making sure either the volunteer or the care provider is very comfortable with working with that individual before we cut them loose.
There is a tendency, I think, for caregivers not to make noise, not to reach out, not to seek help. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that there's a moment of pride and a sense of responsibility. And for us, we know that the stakes are really high because very often in that relationship, the most vulnerable one is the caregiver because mm-hmm. they're expending all of their energy and yeah. all of their thoughts and energy are focused on that loved one. And they don't realize that they're the most vulnerable and they need that help. And often they come to us a little too late.
We know you have an event called Walk Beyond the Barriers coming yes. up. Tell us about that, Kate.
Well, that's a regular event that we do twice a month, and it's our opportunity to really tell the stories that demonstrate the value of what it is that we do for the community. And it's a great way to kind of engage with individuals on a very personal level so that they really understand and can connect and recognize that the value that they have as an individual with their heart and their interest in our programs, we give them opportunities. It's our opportunity to find out if they want to volunteer. It's our opportunity to cultivate them as long-term supporters of our organization. And it's just such an important way to create that engagement and to begin. And it's just 1 hour.
When is the event?
We do it the second and the fourth Tuesdays of the month.
Okay.
And the second Tuesday, it's at 8:30 in the morning. And on the fourth, it's at 11:30 in the afternoon. Morning.
I have been speaking with Executive Director of Helping Hands Respite Care, John Stauffer, and Katie Donovan, consultant and volunteer with Helping Hands. John, Katie, thank you for being here. Continued success. We hope you generate some volunteers.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Current States looking for more nominations for our Neighbors in Action feature. Please help us out and email us your suggestions to currentstate@wkar.org. Put Neighbors in Action in the subject line or tweet us @KARCurrentState and tell us a little bit about why you think they should be featured for the great work they do.